Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host Travis, and I'm joined once again by Xavier. How you doing?
Sup?
Yeah, okay. All right, so we have a nice, I think, quick little fun episode we're going to do here.
Yeah, it's like a little mini-sode.
Yeah, we've done, you know, bits before in the past, what we call Pop Culture Pause. And where we just, before we get into the topic, we just do a little quick little current event type thing. We were going to do it for our current episode, but with the topic that we're going to do for the pause, I said, you know what? This is going to be enough. It might be its own little episode.
Yeah.
So we're going to dub this one Trailer Palooza.
Oh, okay. There you go. I didn't even know what you were calling it.
Yeah. So in the wake of Star Wars Celebration, it's where they will gather an annual Star Wars event. And they always break out new exclusives. This year, it was a Star Wars trailer mm-hmm. that they broke out, this current one, just a little while ago. So, with that, in order to try to top it, I guess, all the other studios try to throw out
their... domino effect this last couple weeks.
Like, trailer after trailer after trailer.
Just, yeah, it's just been an embarrassment of riches if you're into trailers.
Exactly. And just trying to... It's like one-upsmanship. Like, who can have, like... the best trailer, sort of. I mean, that's the way I'm
looking
at it.
Yeah, it seems like it. Well, you know, we're at summer's coming up.
Yep.
And, you know, everybody's trying to build momentum, I guess.
Oh, I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is the perfect time for it. But with the trailers that are coming out, let's just talk about the one that kind of started the whole thing. I just mentioned Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Mm. You like that title?
You know what? Anything so far about Episode 7, I'm okay with. I'm
you've been excited this whole time. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Like you're on board,
yes,
per se?
Anything they've done so far, I have not been like, ooh, really? No. I'm okay with everything so far.
You're not crying, Black Stormtrooper.
Oh, no.
I can't believe people are zeroing in on that, the Black Stormtrooper. Like, really?
We're getting a new Star Wars movie, and this
I don't know. I mean, Even if I had an issue with that, I'd be too ashamed to come out and say it out loud.
Right,
people are like, literally, Black Stormtrooper, fuck that. Oh, wow. It amazes me the lack of shame people have. Anyways, that's beyond the point.
Yeah. And plus, real quick on that, you know, if you want to complain about that being, you know, with the clones and everything...
That's
from the prequels.
I think that's what people are justifying their bigotry.
Yeah, right.
Under the guise of, well, they're all clones, so there shouldn't be a black one.
No, I think with all clarity, I can say, you know what? I'm enjoying Episode 7 just on the basis of Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm. No,
and this one.
I think the only reason I'm still on board and I'm hopeful and positive and what's optimistic is it can all be summed up in two letters. JJ.
Yes.
In a word, Abrams. Okay. I have faith in JJ Abrams. I enjoyed what he did with Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I liked his whole work, Alias and all that stuff. Yeah, I like JJ Abrams.
I remember being in the theater watching Star Trek, and there was one of the opening battle scenes in space, and I was like, man,
with Thor?
Yeah. I was like, man, I could really see this. Wouldn't it be nice if you could do Star Wars?
I was crying in the theater with the whole scene, the very first, in the 2009 Star Trek movie. Mm. And I was like, this movie just opened. I don't even know these characters. And I'm crying at this scene with his son. And I'm
You're
like,
already invested.
Well, yeah. He pulled me, just tractor beam, sucked me right in. So I have faith in JJ. You can tell the guy's a kind of a nerd. You probably know he has, you know, a lot of love and respect for Star Wars. But the trailer, when I'm talking about the trailer.
Yes. Man, just that opening shot, the little John Williams score at the very beginning, a little tease of that. And then the pan view.
Of that Star Destroyer in like a junkyard.
The Super Star Destroyer crashed.
Was it?
I'm saying Super Star Destroyer. I could be wrong, but crashed. I kind of want to know what happened with that. Did you catch the in front of it, the little X-wing?
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, there's a little crash X-wing in front of it.
I watched this like three times on my phone. then I came home or something and watched it on my laptop. Not much bigger, but I did not notice an X-wing.
Yeah.
I was too thinking if a Star Destroyer. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. Is that Tatooine or is that not?
Okay, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, they're back on Tatooine. That's my impression of it. But reading the notes and everything.
No, I don't think it is Tatooine.
Yeah.
Because if it was, the Jawas would have stripped that shit to shit. They would have taken the rims off that and everything. You know, that Star Destroyer would be sitting on cinder blocks if it was on Tatooine. Because the Jawas would have gotten all over that.
Yeah. And so there was mentioned, there was like another planet named... start with the J. I can't remember what it was called, but
the Jawa planet.
They're right. But yeah, it's not Tatooine apparently. But to which is on, I don't know. But that's just like the opening shot of that trailer. So,
would you get a quick image of, I guess, Vader's skull or his mask?
Was that just imagery? Like,
I don't know, because again, I'm thinking like it looked like everything, even the mouthpiece, that little triangular mouthpiece looked like that was part of the bone structure of it.
Yeah.
And he, but Luke burned him right. on Endor.
Yeah,
are we going back to Endor? I don't know. But I mean, as imagery, wow, that's really powerful. That's clearly a dead scout, dead Darth Vader,
or at least a melted helmet,
so or at least like a melted helmet. But it was like, wow, 30 years later, who saved a dead Darth Vader helmet? 30 years later.
Well, that's, and again, does that intrigue you? Just to see how that's
my nerd mind. Comes up with all the questioning behind it. I think your average viewer sees that and just goes, oh, that's Darth Vader's helmet. Yeah. Cool. I recognize that. And then they don't give it any further thought. We are thinking, wait, how the fuck did that happen?
Wow. I thought you got burned.
We come up with all the million questionings behind it. Still on board.
Now you said 30 years later, that's our time, but how long has passed in their timeline too, you know?
Have they established exactly how long?
I would assume, if you want to go to the final shot.
Okay, thank you. Let's jump to the end here. The thing that everybody's talking about. Chewie, we're home. Get off my plane. No, that would be funny. Air Force One, his famous line. But no.
That's
what he tells the Chewie, get off. Yeah, he'll probably say that to somebody throughout the game. Get off my Millennium Falcon. I didn't kill my wife. That's my Harrison Ford impersonation. Thank you. No, we did not get Harrison Ford in the studio to record that. Oh. Yes. Everybody's. I don't know. Okay. We should say the trailer opens with a little voiceover by Mark Hamill saying. I guess it's re-recorded because it's line for line what he says
from
Jedi. You know, Force is strong in my family. I have it. My sister has it. All that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking, like, oh, we're going to get a shot of Luke. That's what I'm more excited about.
Okay.
I know what Harrison Ford looks like today.
Right.
He's never left the public eye.
Right.
We know what he looks like. He looks old.
Yeah.
So I don't want to see that. I'd rather see... I'm curious as hell to see how Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill have held up. Or at least, I'm assuming that they probably, when they realized... Like, oh my god, we got a shot at being in a multi-million-dollar thing. Get back in the limelight. We got to call Bally's. I'm thinking both of them probably did that because this is a big.
I would hope so.
Opportunity
because
for
I've
them.
Seen Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher in the recent years.
And they, you know what? And to be fair, they've aged the way a normal person ages.
Thank you.
I'm not going to call them out and say, they let themselves go. No, they just age like regular people. Harrison Ford is a big A-list action movie star.
Right.
Movie stars don't age the way regular people age, okay?
Yeah.
So to say he looks good for his age, why is Carrie Fisher fat? You know, she's aged like a human.
She's a
being.
Human.
Like a human being. But, you know, so I want to see what a human being would do when they get a chance to get back into a big summer blockbuster multi-million-dollar franchise picture.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm dying to see. That's the tweets I'm waiting to see.
And the thing is, I like they didn't show him. I like the tease.
Really?
I like, make it be more...
Then they shouldn't have opened it with his narrating, because that led me to think, we're going to see Luke, and then you give me Han. Or basically, you just give me an old Harrison Ford. With a stunning-looking Chewie. I don't know, what is that, Pantene Pro-V or something? His fur looked glorious.
How do Wookiees age? I don't know.
I know they age slowly.
Because he was in episode...
Chewie's like... But Chewie's... Like, in the 80s, I would buy, like, Star Wars books and stuff like that. And Chewie was, like, 200. He was, like, 200 in the original trilogy.
So why is...
I mean, he looks better. That's what I'm saying. He's, like, retroactively... Like, he looks better than he did in the 80s movies. In the original trilogy. In the Holy Trilogy.
How are they doing Chewie now? I mean, is it... It's not Peter Mayhew who's still doing it. I mean, he can barely walk.
I was going to say.
Have you seen him in cons recently?
Yeah. Peter Mayhew's.
Is there another tall dude in the suit?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, well, in all fairness, you don't need anybody special.
Right.
I mean, is Anthony Daniels doing C-3PO?
I would assume so.
Because there's a movement to C-3PO. Yeah. To Wookiee, to Chewie, you just walk around and go...
Yeah, you can even chime in that later on in post with the yells and shit.
So, you don't need Peter Mayhew. I mean, I don't know. Is Anthony Daniels, how old is he now? Can he still fit in a C-3PO thing? Is he in the new trilogy?
He's casted as
C-3PO. Okay, oh, well, good for him.
But so is Peter Mayhew. So I
yeah, interesting.
Yeah. So
and I want to see, and also I want to see the new cast that they've got. Well, we've seen some of the new cast already, but the two people I'm hoping for, the two people I've actually heard of,
mm-hmm.
which is Gwendolyn Christie, who most people know as Brienne of Tarth from Game of Thrones, and Adam Driver, who people are speculating is going to be a villain. Okay. Adam Driver. Most people know him from. HBO show Girls or okay. What If with Daniel Radcliffe, which I just watched. He's good in that too. I like both of those actors. I'm actually familiar. Oscar Isaac is in it too. He's been in a lot of shit lately.
I've heard the name recently. I think he got casted as Apocalypse.
Apocalypse. Yeah, that's okay.
That's my nerd brain.
Yeah, I was going to say nerds know him now from being in Apocalypse.
But well, it's not even out yet. So.
Yeah. Well, he's been in a lot of stuff too. He was in Drive. He was in Sucker Punch. He was in a lot of stuff.
I did hear about Andy Serkis doing some stuff for this movie too.
Yeah, that could be anything really.
Yeah,
it's probably a motion capture.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Oh, I would hope so.
that's his specialty. But I bet you he'll be like he'll have like a one line as like a bartender or something. Because he's like, you know, can I get my face in there somewhere, please? You know, they'll probably just have like
I've earned it.
Anyway, all in all, okay, so we're on board with the Star Wars trailer.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Everything from even the shots of all the X-Wings flying down, and you see like the inside cockpit view.
Where the Millennium Falcon goes through the exhaust pipe or some shit. It's like, ooh, we're going to have a chase through the subsystem.
There's so many callbacks to the original trilogy in this one trailer.
Yeah.
I'm just dying to see what the movie actually looks like. And that's what a trailer should do.
There's going to be a chase through the bowels of a Star Destroyer. But Devil's Advocate here, I just want to... It's not that hard to make a good... Star Wars trailer because it's all about because they have decades of iconic imagery
mm-hmm.
to just show me a picture of a Star Destroyer and nerds are gonna jizz their pants, you know, just show me the Millennium Falcon. Oh my god, that was the Millennium Falcon. I mean, it's not that hard to make a good one,
but the fact that the reality
but
of us
did
getting
the
it.
Trailer itself, the structure of it,
mm-hmm.
a slow voiceover with a voiceover with some slow cuts mm-hmm. with a slow build, because that seems to be the formula that a lot of trailers have been doing these last few years. And the Force Awakens pretty much just followed that same formula. And then at the very tail end, you give me like 3 money shots.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of...
But you know what? It worked for me on this
It works for you because it's Star Wars.
Yes, yes.
Because like I said, just show me a Wookiee. Just show me a Star Destroyer. Just show me something that looks like Star Wars and I'm going to be, oh my God, it's Star Wars. But was the trailer itself really that good?
It's hard to
Devil's Advocate here.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's fair. It's a fair mm-hmm. question. It's hard for me to distinguish between that and the fact that, okay, I am looking forward to this, and this I was already looking forward to it. And this trailer makes me want to see even more. Whether that's because of the trailer was doing what it was supposed to do, or the fact that I'm just dying to see this movie already, I can't distinguish.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, because this is Star Wars. This is in a different league than a few other ones that dropped right afterwards.
Yeah,
because none of these have 30 plus years of
yeah. Well, one of them might, but before we get into the rest of those, you kind of touched on just a second ago about the formula of trailers, and I know this is something that you wanted to.
Yeah,
maybe kind of talk about, and this is your forum right now because this is of all the
Well, I didn't
of all the episodes. I've done.
Yeah, well, I mean, I talked about this casually with you, but I mean, yeah, well, okay, it's like I just said, it's a narrative, it's a voiceover
mm-hmm.
with usually some slow cuts, like you know, a second of footage with like more black in between this mm-hmm. you know the cut than there should be. And usually nothing impressive because we're trying to focus on the voiceover. Usually it's just something, some imagery, a shot of a flag blowing in the wind or mm-hmm. you know, something dramatic like that.
Yeah.
And then the voiceover does its thing. Then the music picks up and then we get the meat of the trailer, which people click on to see
mm-hmm.
the quick shot of the superhero costume, the quick shot of the vehicle, the quick, you know, And that's the stuff that people focus on more than the first minute of the trailer, which is all build up.
Yeah.
And that's kind of become the formula for a lot of movies. You know, Man of Steel, I remember, did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Had the voiceover and then the shot
of the kid
with the his back to the camera with his cape on as a kid. And, you know, this is all nice, sweet imagery. I get it. But give me the shot of Clark flying. Give me the shot of, you know, that's what you want to see.
But see, but to your point, though, do you want them to give you all that in the trailer? Or do you want them to...
I guess, okay, I guess the concept of the teaser.
Yes.
That's something that we've only gotten in the last... I don't know how long. The concept of teasers have been around. Because that's essentially what it's doing, is teasing you.
Yeah. And that's what a trailer should do anyways. It shouldn't give you the whole thing.
But they're all... But they've all become the same now. And that's the thing. You gotta come up with more clever ways of teasing people. You know?
Can show me a... You sent me on your phone a clip of two different trailers that actually use the same song or the same clip and everything.
Yeah, I was watching a DVD and, you know, the trailers beforehand, and two of them right next to each other used the same... Okay, the movies were RIPD and Jobs. Two movies had nothing to do with each other. And both trailers on the same... preceding the same movie use the exact same song. Trailers have become very formulaic lately.
Yeah. There's another flip side of that as far as where the teaser goes, where... which is, I kind of like. I just like, give me a few bits and pieces here and there. The flip side of that is there's trailers that just throw out everything. And it's getting worse and worse, I think.
Are you segueing into
a specific one? There was a trailer that hit, again, just very recently. Terminator Genisys? How do you say that?
It's pronounced Genisys. It's supposed to be short for, like, Genetic Systems, which is like a company like Cyberdyne or something.
Oh, well, I'm glad you knew that, because I didn't know that.
It's, yeah. Oh, God. Okay. So we're talking about the second trailer, because we've had some footage of this for a while.
Right.
But a second trailer recently dropped.
Yeah.
Which, I feel stupid saying this for a trailer, but spoiler alert.
Yeah.
In case you haven't seen the trailer and you end up seeing the movie, but... fucking shit. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
To watch the trailer.
Yeah.
Because they give away... Can I just say it?
Sure.
Okay, apparently John Connor is a... spoiler alert again. John Connor is a fucking Terminator or something.
He's not a man. He's not a machine. He's something else. Whatever he says in the trailer.
Now that really pisses me off beyond the obvious of, yeah, you spoiled the movie for me. But... this is not the first time the Terminator franchise has done this.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Terminator Salvation, last one. Yeah. Sam Worthington was one of the lead characters in it. And in the trailer, they reveal to us what they reveal halfway through in the movie, that he didn't even realize he himself was a Terminator.
Right.
And the trailers told us that and spoiled it for us.
Go back to Terminator 2. When we didn't know that Arnold was going to be the hero, we still thought he was their Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
And then the trailer of that said...
I was a little kid at the
time. Right, yeah.
But I remember being pissed off at Salvation. I mean, imagine if you saw Salvation just not knowing anything. That might have been like, oh, I didn't even see that coming. Oh, it turns out fucking Avatar is a Terminator. That might have been interesting, but they fucking didn't learn their lesson, and then they did it again.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody likes Salvation.
So, I liked it.
Do you? Really? Oh, good for you. Sorry, that was part of my... those Christian Bale's... Anyways.
You're a nice guy, man. You're a nice guy.
Oh. From the Christian Bale rant.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. But fuck it. Well, you're getting off topic. The point is, okay. Terminator...
Yeah, this trailer itself... I remember when it first came out, I sent it to you and I said... story overload. I don't know where this is like all over the place. There's like so much stuff going on in this trailer. This one trailer, I don't know where to begin on this thing other than the spoiler alert. But
I'm under the impression that what this thing is doing is kind of doing what Days of Future Past did.
You got it.
It's time traveling back to the first Terminator movie in 84.
We see that because, spoiler alert, Arnold fights Arnold.
Oh my God, yeah. So, but the thing is...
which again would have been a badass moment in the movie.
Right? But the thing is, X-Men needed a reboot. The whole time travel thing was done as a tool to reboot it. Well, you don't need to reboot Terminator. Terminator's awesome.
Yeah.
Why do you want to go, you know, erase the chalkboard of Terminator 1 and say Terminator 1 didn't happen? Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to spit in the face of everybody who loved those original movies?
Maybe it was James Cameron saying, you know what, fuck it. If you can't make a good sequel, erase all the other shit. I don't want to be
a part of this. James Cameron is not... He has no...
I know.
No.
I know.
Okay.
In my mind, I like to think that he controls everything about Terminator.
Oh, no. I wish.
I know, right?
In a perfect world, yeah. He would still control the...
No, he's got to make avatars.
No, well, I don't even think he could if he wanted to. It was his first movie he ever directed. Mm-hmm. And I think he agreed to like to sell the script for like almost nothing in exchange for getting the opportunity to direct it.
He sold the rights pretty much for the chance to direct it,
which is thank God, because in the hands of someone else, who knows, it might not have ever gathered the momentum it did. We wouldn't be talking about it 30 years later.
Yeah,
but I don't think he, as a first time director, had the clout to say, I'm going to retain... He wasn't George Lucas.
Okay. Did you do that on purpose? Yeah.
No, but I mean, at the time, George Lucas... he retained the commercial.
Commercial. Rights. That's all he wanted.
That's all he wanted. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we're getting off track on that one. But, yeah, another thing about this that really it stuck in my craw a little bit. How did...
A craw? What's a craw?
How did Sarah Connor know what her future son looks like? When they're in the same room, he's like, John, what are you doing here? See, there's
so... Well, because it's half of her DNA in a nice Jason Clark package. You're right. I didn't even think about that. I don't know.
And that's another thing. Emilia Clarke, I love her as Daenerys. I don't know. Something about her being Sarah Connor. I don't know. From what you've seen so far, what do you think of her as... Sarah.
You know, I'm not buying it either, but it's like that's so far down the list of things wrong with this. I don't have the time to, you know, yeah. My rage is all spent by the time I get down to her on the list. It's like there's everything else wrong with it. Old Arnold doing the, and it's all the same. The trailer, okay, now let's focus on the trailer. The trailer tries to, you know, get out, tries to use that famous line.
I'll be back. And
yeah, I'll be. Come with me if you want to live. Yeah. It's throwing us all. It thinks that by giving us all the stuff we've seen before, it's supposed to get us excited. Even the scene where she's like, "I'm trying to make him more human." He does the awkward smile. That was in Terminator 2.
The T-1000 getting shot and kind of looking back.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's a cop, dressed up as a cop.
I don't think it was in this trailer. I think it was in the last one where that bus flips over.
We saw that
in Terminator, the third one, Rise of Machines, with that other thing flipped over. And that was a great action set piece in part 3. But it's like there's almost nothing new in this. Mm-hmm. It's a rehash of everything we've seen from all the old. It's like they took pieces of all three or four, actually. They took the spoiler from part 4, and then they all kind of came together and then gave it a shitty wording genesis, and that's what this one is.
Yeah. So did seeing this trailer, what did that do to your anticipation for the movie? Did you have any anticipation?
No, I'm not anticipating. I mean, it's Terminator. I'm gonna see it.
Yeah,
obviously. And that's the thing. I think they know that. I think they're like, you know what? Fuck them. They're gonna see our movie anyway. Who gives a shit what those people think? I think these trailers are made for people who don't like Terminator. Because anybody who likes Terminator is gonna see a new Terminator movie.
Yeah.
But they're trying to get the people who don't know Terminator. Maybe young people or really old people or just people out of touch or whatever. They're trying to get those weird... For that one guy who's been living in a cave for the last decade with his eyes shut and his fingers in his ears who doesn't know anything about Terminator. I think they're going for that guy. Because anybody who knows Terminator... Of course.
I've already seen everything that you saw in this trailer.
Of course we're going to see a new Terminator movie.
Yeah. What do you think about that whole idea of them going back and... Well, I guess you've already said it, but just kind of wiping out... Like doing a reboot.
I think it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Why? I would rather them make a Terminator 5 as a direct sequel to Salvation. Because with Salvation, we thought we're going to see the war. We're going to see John Connor as a soldier. We're going to see all that stuff. And then it didn't really deliver. I think a direct chronological sequel was in order with the flying ships and all that. Because the best part about Salvation was the flying the ships and the motorcycles and the big robotic Terminator. All the Terminator shit
from
Terminator Salvation was, I think, the best part. And I think they could have expanded that world, made it look like what James Cameron created in the first one and two.
So you kind of wanted like you wanted this
I want the real post-apocalyptic human beings.
Kind of in between 3 and Salvation, pretty much. Because in Salvation, it's already like advanced and everything. They already got the motorcycles and all that stuff.
What do you mean?
In part 3, it's like the start of it.
From our time, from our perspective, right. From what we see. Yeah, yeah. I want, like, what in Terminator Part 1, we talk about this in the time travel episode. In Terminator Part 1, the flashbacks of Kyle Reese's memory, right. Of that post-apocalyptic future, that's what I wanted to see. I want to see a movie from that world, because that world scared the fucking shit out of me when I was a little kid. That was scary. People are eating, like, decrepit oatmeal and watching TVs on fire, and that was depressing and scary as hell. That's the world I wanted to see in Salvation, but they went back a few years, and it was like, we still had, like, a military, and we still had a semblance, mm-hmm. of a world, of a functioning.
So you wanted
world.
To go a little bit farther than
I
that,
wanted
so.
It to be a sequel to Salvation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that takes place a few years later. What? Does that make too much sense?
For Terminator movies? Yes, it does, actually.
Oh, God. Anyways, all right, I can't talk about Terminator anymore.
All right, okay, so...
What else dropped?
All right, I think in direct competition to Star Wars, or just to kind of take some of the heat from Star Wars, Warner Brothers dropped Superman v. Batman. Donham Justice. Yes, it's a court case now, I guess.
That's what I was going to say. Superman versus Batman.
Do you want to go first on this one?
No, go ahead.
All right. I know there's a lot of people already complaining about it as far as the tone and this and that, what you got out of it. I liked it just for that fact that I wanted to see Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne, Batman. I wanted to see what the costume looked like and what the what it's going to look like when they kind of meet up each other. And I got all that in that trailer for the most part, for what the little tease I got.
Yeah.
And I think the Batplane was in there, the Batmobile was in there.
A silhouette of the Batmobile, which looks a lot like the Tumbler. Too much like the Tumbler for my taste.
From the backside of it, kind of? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But man, that Batman suit, and even the armor itself, when he's going up against Superman, I like it, just the fact that it looks straight like they pulled it from the comic.
From the comic of...
Frank Miller's.
The Dark Knight Returns. Okay, yeah.
But what do you think? What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, honestly, to hear you... The way you described that, when I saw that, I thought the exact same thing. I was like, oh my God, this is Dark Knight Returns, almost exactly. From the short ears, mm-hmm. to the stocky, bulky, mm-hmm. look of you know, to the bat armor,
right.
Where he's facing, you know, Superman's flying, you know, can you bleed, that scene. Oh, that looks, yes. That looked exactly like Dark Knight Returns. And then it starts making me think, is this what this movie is, Dark Knight Returns? But then I started... Again, I'm overthinking these things.
Your nerve brain's going overdrive.
My nerve brain's going overdrive, and I'm like, have they earned the right to just jump in the middle of Dark Knight Returns?
Well, that was kind of established when they were talking about rumors about the movie last year, when they were saying that Batman, when they bring him in,
he's older.
He's going to be already a grizzled vet, pretty much, and he's already going to be established as a hero.
The world knows Batman. The whole world knows these two characters, and we could jump in because we know all their history,
right.
But to people in general, would it be odd for them to all of a sudden see a grizzled Batman and a grizzled Batman? And that's another thing. Bruce Wayne and Batman in Dark Knight Return. Bruce Wayne and Batman. Superman and Batman, they knew each other for years. So when they threw down, it was like a big deal.
Yeah.
It's, apparently, Superman has just shown up recently.
Right.
And now Batman and Bruce, is he coming out of retirement to take down this new alien menace?
Well, we don't know because... you could say this is coming out right after Man of Steel.
Exactly.
But if you look at the trailer, the first part, they're talking about the voiceovers. I guess those were like news
reports. Some of those were characters I recognized.
Yeah. And then you see the statue of
the
Superman.
False idol,
the
false god. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, yeah.
And unless they just erected that statue like right after the first...
Okay, that's another thing, because that just leads to further questions. They love this guy so much they built a statue, and then in like a week later they decide they hate him
again
and vandalize it.
How far along are we in the time frame, you know?
I guess so. This is not supposed to be a direct, like, apparently time has passed from Man of Steel to
this. That's the way I'm taking it. I could be totally wrong on that, but
so in let's say 10 years or 5 years, whatever,
sure,
Superman has been doing his thing, saving lives, and has lost the faith of people. How does Superman do that? How does Superman lose the faith of people?
Lex Luthor.
Oh, but Lex Luthor can't do that. He's an industrialist. He's a CEO. He doesn't have the the capacity to communicate people who are obsessed with social networking.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you. You're right. That's probably why they. Fuck. That's why they made him an internet blogger in this movie, not a. But in Man of Steel, isn't there a scene where he's like tossing a truck aside or something that says LexCorp? Isn't there a
There was something where he's like picking up a truck. I thought it was supposed to be an homage to Action Comics number one, where he's like holding up a car.
Yeah, but LexCorp is a thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's
LexCorp was a thing in Man of Steel. It was a little Easter egg if you saw it.
That's what I'm saying, though. But an internet blogger doesn't.
Do you know he's an internet blogger?
Isn't he?
I'm thinking of.
I'm confusing something else. I'm confusing something else. But no, Lex Luthor is not the corporate guy we recognize that we know, do we? Is he?
They've been very vague about how he's going to be portrayed in the movie. But I mean,
because Jesse Eisenberg is too young to be running a corporation.
Did you see the picture that they posted?
Yeah. Oh God, are we going to have to talk about that picture? It's fucking Jesse Eisenberg bald.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like it was a shock when I saw it. Like, oh my God, is that what he's going to look like?
I don't like the guy in the first place. I don't want him playing Lex Luthor.
He can't play anything other than Jesse Eisenberg.
Would it have been too much to ask for Clancy Brown to play Lex Luthor?
Yeah, that would have been. I would have loved it, but how old is he by now?
Yeah.
And who the hell knows who Clancy Brown is?
Who cares who knows who he is? They would know him by the movie. Buggers?
Remember back in the day when people were talking about Bryan Cranston was in talks for it? Oh, I was really excited about that.
That would have been badass.
That would have been great.
No, let's get Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, God. Who? And this goes back... I mean, this is what I'm saying, how it's hard to have faith in the studio when they make these blunders like this. Like, what is the mentality behind that?
Everything. I don't know what it is about Warner Brothers and their DC movies... Especially for Superman v. Batman, the casting has been, like, just fucking off the wall for me. Except for, well, no, Ben Affleck, I was actually okay with that one. But Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, they announced that like a big deal. I was like, ugh, no. Jason Momoa as Aquaman.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's another thing. I'm looking at this, like I said, we've been speculating on this whole plot, which seems really big, and it's like, well, how are you going to shoehorn Wonder Woman in there?
Yeah.
From what That's I understand, one thing we haven't talked about, yeah. Aquaman is like a teaser at the end. It's like a post-credit scene.
Oh, okay. All
right. That's my impression, and that's what I've gathered from what I've learned, is that it's like a post-credit scene to set up something else. But he's not really a part of the main movie.
I would hope not. I would hope... I would imagine just Batman and Superman, that's going to be it. I don't know how you bring in Wonder Woman.
But I've heard she actually is kind of a part of this.
Is she?
So
it makes sense. I mean, in DC Comics, they are known as the Trinity. It's it's what they call the Big Three, pretty much. So if you're going to introduce Batman to that world,
I don't know.
Why not?
I just think I don't know if I've ever discussed this in the show, because I've said it to anybody who will listen. You know, if I'm at a bar and just beating a guy, you know what I hate about DC? I'll just say it. But it's like Marvel spent years, you know, one movie
literally
at a time.
Literally years,
one movie at a time, creating a universe to where it all culminated with Avengers after, like, how many years? And DC saw that formula, and now, you know, it's like the whole world's changed so drastically, and Warner Brothers is just running to catch up. I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but look, Warner Brothers and Marvel, two studios separated by, you know, a dozen successful movies of difference, suddenly thrown in the mix together. How do we have any idea what to expect? Wow, I don't know where I was going with that. I was hoping it just didn't end somewhere.
No, I was waiting for it. Yeah.
But I mean, DC is really racing to try and create their own Avengers franchise, and they're trying to do it in two movies.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback you on that one, because when I first heard of their idea for that, I was thinking, okay, if they start with Man of Steel, and then if they do a Batman movie, and then they do a Wonder Woman movie, and then an Aquaman movie, or whatever they want to do, and then eventually get to a Justice League movie, they would be chastised for just copying Avengers and Marvel. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, what they're going to do to avoid that, they're just going to do it backwards.
They'll just knock out the middleman.
Yeah.
And just jump right to Avengers.
Knock out all the build bullshit. Yeah. We don't need all that. This is 75 years worth of characters right here. Everybody knows who they are. They don't need a movie for that.
Oh. Well, I could almost follow that mentality and forgive them if they were making good decisions everywhere else.
Yes.
But they're not.
Yes.
So it's like they're just like, it's like fail on every level that they're doing, man.
I want to give them the benefit of doubt. And I try to defend Man of Steel. I know a lot of people just kind of shit all over that. It is, I take it as, okay, you can bitch all you want. That's what we got. And that's, and the reason I say it like that is because that's the start of their movie universe. You know, they're taking Man of Steel, they're making Superman v Batman, Donna, you know.
If that's the tone they're going for, though, that dark, depressing, you know.
DC was never about that. DC was always the opposite. DC was always like, they celebrate their heroes, like, yeah, in the comics.
I think it was Patton Oswalt who said, you got one guy who does the brooding, that's Batman. Nobody else does the brooding.
Yes.
Paraphrasing. But yeah, he kind of summed it up right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
but anyway, did you if anybody was wondering where I was going off in that little speech of mine, I was paraphrasing a little bit of Jurassic Park there. I know you got it. But that leads us into something else that I hope we will talk about, because it's something I've been thinking about. The second Jurassic World, right?
Yeah. Jurassic World, yes. With Chris Pratt.
Yeah. as our hero. Bryce Dallas Howard is the John Hammond-ish character. Yeah. I don't know who else is in it.
A couple kids.
Okay, I was gonna wait. The trailer makes it.
Before we get into that part of it, let's talk about the good thing about the. What'd you like about the trailer about Jurassic World?
Dinosaurs.
Yeah. When it comes down to damn it, you gotta have some good dinosaurs.
Yeah, dinosaurs. And this new trailer, I will admit, gave us a lot of money shots of lot of good shots of the dinosaurs. And they gave us a quick shot of this mystery dinosaur.
It's supposed to be replaced the T-Rex.
Yeah, and it's not even, and also it's like a genetically, it's a brand new dinosaur. It's nothing,
right.
Anybody who knows dinosaurs could, you know, Google this name. Oh, that's what it's going to look like. Apparently it's a brand new thing the movie created. It doesn't look super crazy. Mm-hmm. It just looks like a really big T-Rex or something like that.
But apparently it learns, and it was killing
other dinosaurs. Really smart.
Yeah.
Okay, that's another thing. I was describing Terminator as saying it took pieces from the whole franchise and made it in this movie. That kind of, I think, gives me the feel of this one.
Part 3, maybe, for that one? Because were the Raptors, there was Raptors in Part 3? They were learning.
They're really smart.
Yeah.
And that line. And then there's kids again. And then the park goes haywire, just like in the first one. It's like they took little pieces of everything.
What's the timeline on this movie? Like,
I'm going to say real time, which is...
Like the last three
every
movies?
Year a movie came out was the year it took place.
Okay,
going off that,
so those last three movies did actually happen, and this is after the third movie.
I'm gonna say every movie happened in real time. The year it came out.
Okay,
the Jurassic Park incident, you know, all that kind of shit happened in '93 or whatever, mm-hmm. and the Lost World incident happened in '97 or whatever. And I'm gonna say that's how it goes. And this new movie happens in 2014.
They kind of work out of the kinks, and that's why they're able to.
Because they've got apparently the park's been up and running for a while.
Yeah.
She has a line in it where she says, every time we reveal a new dinosaur, attendance goes up. So apparently the park's, it's not like it's the grand opening.
Yeah.
Park's been going for a while, and apparently this new dinosaur is what throws the kink in.
And I want to say, and I'm sure this was done intentionally, but that trailer was, it made me... remember what I liked about the very first Jurassic Park. There was a lot of, like you said, a lot of good money shots. Like all the dinosaurs running with the humans and everything. And
with Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different things that I just felt like a lot of callbacks. Like they're going back to what made the first Jurassic Park special.
Yeah. Even the first trailer, the music, it was a very slow, like one note piano song. But it was dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
But it was very slow, trying to take you back to the original. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hoping... when I watch the movie, it's going to be that vibe, that feeling of watching the first Jurassic Park. I'm hoping.
I hope so. Like I said, it seems to be taking a lot from the other ones.
Unfortunately, one part of that is kids.
Yeah, I really wish... I really wish... Why does every fucking Jurassic Park movie have to have kids? and rescuing kids and kids screaming. There's even a shot where the kids are screaming as a claw comes in through the glass.
That's what made me think.
Shot for shot of the T-Rex in the first one. Yeah,
that's what made me think about that. But in the same time, maybe that's an age thing. Maybe because kids and dinosaurs, kids love dinosaurs. So I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it. But I'm grasping at straws.
I don't know. I mean, I think exactly. Kids love dinosaurs. They don't love other kids. Just show them the dinosaurs. The kids will be happy, and the adults don't like watching kids.
That's true.
I think the first three movies, I think the kid characters were the weak link in all three of the first movies.
I agree. And the kids in the first movie, I don't think, did they go on to do anything else?
Like for a few years afterwards.
Yeah, but nothing.
Neither today. I don't think either of them are working.
Fucking kids.
No, I believe that the children are our future, and that we should teach them well and let them lead the way. Okay, on that.
Nice save, Aaron.
Thank you.
Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. No, I was doing Eddie Murphy. Come to America.
Yeah. All right.
Sexual chocolate. Okay. Well, there's a couple others that dropped.
Okay, we have a big movie coming out in like a week or so, Avengers, Age of Ultron. The next movie after that, we've been seeing trailers for that one, Ant-Man.
Oh, okay, I was going to say.
That's the next Marvel movie, Marvel Studios movie that's coming out for that.
Is that the last movie in Phase 2? I think it is.
Is it Phase 2?
I think it's still part of Phase 2.
I thought Avengers was in Phase 2.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong then.
And that, yeah,
so wait. Ant-Man is the first part of Phase 3?
Yeah, I guess maybe we can.
I think Ant-Man was supposed to be the last part of Phase 2, but because of all the delays and Edgar Wright leaving, I think it got pushed back, and now it's forced to be the bookend of Phase 2.
Regardless, I think still that doing a movie just on Ant-Man is a risk. I don't know.
Okay, let me ask you: do you even want Ant-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Would you rather have him be sort of like, tail back, like what Hawkeye did or Black Widow?
Yeah, I wouldn't
like introduce him in someone else's movie.
Yes, introduce him in Avengers or something. I don't know if he needs his own movie.
You know, introduce him as Age of Ultron, as the guy who created Ultron. And is that crazy concept? I don't know. Did Hank Pym invented Ultron, or do you think people would not respond to that?
No, because they're
because that would be crazy. Because in the book, I wish he was the one who invented Ultron. When I heard the next movie was called The Age of Ultron, I remember thinking, "Oh, good, they're going to introduce Hank Pym."
Where is he?
Does he? I think it was years ago when I heard the next movie was going to be called Age of Ultron. I thought, oh, for sure, Hank Pym's going to be in that, because how else can introduce Ultron without the guy who created him, Hank Pym?
And yeah, you're actually right. It is the tail end of Phase 2 for Marvel.
I'm sorry. I don't think all of our listeners heard that. Could you repeat that?
You were right, sir.
Yes.
Phase 2 ends with Ant-Man. So.
Okay. So, but I don't think it was supposed to.
Yeah.
I think Avengers was going to be the big end of it.
Let's talk about the trailer for a second. Because Okay, we get the introduction. We kind of get a vibe of what's going on with this movie. Michael Douglas, he plays Hank Pym. Apparently, they don't say that in the movie, but yeah, he plays Hank Pym, who creates the Ant-Man technology, which he does do. Yeah, that is
the Pym particles.
Yes, very good. Yes,
I've read a comic book or two in my day.
Oh, congratulations! Welcome to the show. Yes.
Nicely done.
So they introduce him. He kind of says, "Hey, he needs to get somebody to wear the suit and." What's the plot? He needs to steal some stuff and
Scott Lang. Okay, I'm not an expert on Scott Lang.
He's kind of newer into the Marvel universe, but he is an actual character that is part of the
All I know about him is what I know from those Avenger Earth Mightiest Heroes cartoons.
Okay,
that aired four years ago.
The good show, the good show.
That's a good show, And they introduced him as I think Yellow Jacket. I think was his incarnation of it. That's all I know about Scott Lang, who Paul Rudd, our hero, is playing. He's not playing the actual original Ant-Man. He's playing one of the second incarnations of him.
Yeah. If we lost everybody yet, I'm sorry. But
yeah.
They've done several different things to Hank Pym over the years and Ant-Man over the years. But Hank Pym created Yellow Jacket and Ant-Man and all these different incarnations of that. But we're not getting all that in this movie, so.
Are you sure?
I don't know. Maybe they are. No. I don't know. It's how they're going to sum up all this.
Let me ask you something, because this is something I'm curious about. Evangeline Lilly plays Hope Van Dyne, daughter of Hank. Has she ever assumed the mantle of Wasp or anything like that? Has she ever been a hero?
I'm not too familiar with that character. I just know Janet Van Dyne is Wasp.
Yeah, I don't.
And Wasp and Hank Pym were an item there.
Yeah, but the character of Wasp, I didn't see her anywhere in the trailer. But I don't know if their daughter.
There's a scene in this new trailer that we're talking about is that she's training him to fight. And she punches him in the face or whatever. She kind of looked like Wasp right there. Like with the haircut, the like the short hair. And I was like, is she going to be in this movie?
I don't know.
But apparently...
I don't know if the actual... Well, that's what I'm asking. Did she ever take up a mantle of
I don't know. The character? I honestly don't know.
They're probably going to get some... I mean, if I was to IMDb, I could probably find out if the actual Wasp is going to be in it.
Unless they're trying to keep that under wraps. I don't know. Because Ant-Man and the Wasp are Avengers.
Original.
So, yes.
Original first class.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
If you will, yeah.
So I don't know how or if they're going to tie into the Avengers at all. So I guess we'll have to wait and see on that one. But this new trailer that has hit, there was more action scenes. There was more...
The effects got a little cleaned up. The effects in the first trailer didn't look very good.
Like it wasn't finished yet.
A lot of people were calling it out. Like yeah. The effect. I mean, I could tell. Like this is a big Marvel movie. Of course, it's gonna have better effects. It was nice to see the better effects, but still, the idea of shrinking is that super fun to you?
Not really.
Yeah.
Me personally, no.
I mean,
he shrinks.
I'd rather watch Honey I Shrunk the Kids if I want
to
see.
Man, you beat me to it. Because I was gonna say, you know, I was watching the special effects for it and everything, and it's really neat all CGI. He's the
anti.
How funny would it be if they actually resorted the same technology, like used like the same
big animatronic ant? Fuck that movie! Like as I was watching the trailer, Hunter Shrunk the Kids just popped into my brain.
Mm, yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. And plus, this movie has been plagued. Well, like Edgar Wright spent years developing this movie.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, and then at the last minute, he pulls out because apparently him and the studio just weren't seeing eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pull in Peyton Reed, who just comes in at the 11th hour to just sort of take the reins and do this movie.
Yeah. Is that good?
Everybody keeps saying in interviews and yada yada, and even Peyton Reed himself keeps saying how he took a lot of what Edgar had built over the years, a lot of the story and the feel and the vibe and all that kind of stuff. And we stayed true to what he did. Like, you'll see his... Because he has such a big following, a nerd following.
Right.
Edgar Wright, you know, he did Shaun of the Dead and Scott Pilgrim and Hot Fuzz and all that kind of stuff. He's a great director. I was excited about this movie. Just not because of Ant-Man, but because of him. Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's how they're playing it. They're trying to keep people who were enthused about him.
It could be totally wrong. They're probably scrapping everything he did, but they're going to say, hey, we're going to keep the spirit.
Maybe. But I'm getting the feeling that they realized that he built up a lot of anticipation just on his involvement.
Yeah.
And they're trying not to lose that. So they're telling people that, oh, yeah, we're sticking with a lot of what he did and yada yada. And so, but I don't know. I mean...
And then plus Ant-Man. I mean, they even say it in the trailer. Like it's Paul Rudd, he asked that. Like, he actually has to make the joke of it. So I don't know. Is that going to save it for you? Because they're making fun of the name. I don't know.
Yeah, that's no.
That's why I don't know why he made it. He got his own movie. I don't know. It's
When I first heard, like, Ant-Man, really?
And that's the thing about all the slate of movies we got coming up. They're not all going to be home runs. I'm sorry.
Like who? Who are you not?
Ant-Man, for one. I don't know if that's going to be a home run. Doctor Strange is going to be hit or miss, I think.
I think that could be cool.
I think it's so, too. I'm just saying, overall box office-wise, you know.
Magic.
Black Panther.
You're not looking forward to Black Panther either?
I just don't know.
I don't know the guy who's playing him at all, so I can't say I'm excited about seeing that actor as Black Panther, but I think
Doctor Strange aside, because he is kind of a main character, but when you start taking secondary characters like Ant-Man and like give them their own like hour and a half, 2 hour movie. Yeah.
People were saying that about Iron Man years ago. He wasn't exactly a first tier hero. It's hard to believe we lived in a world where Iron Man wasn't a big name. But before that movie,
well, he was a mainstay though. I mean,
he was a mainstay in the sense like that Ant-Man was. He founded the Avengers. And yeah, I mean, he had his own book too. He wasn't like top tier.
Yeah, that's true. He was more steady, like.
Yeah, he was a steady second tier guy.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I give you that.
But he wasn't top tier.
He's no Captain America.
And I think that's why that first movie did so good, because I don't think the studio was expecting that movie to become what it was.
Yeah.
I think they're just like, yeah, we're just churning out.
And plus, it's a really good movie.
Yeah. I think that they were just churning out, you know, Ghost Rider, Daredevil, Iron Man. I think they were just churning these out, and that one kind of slipped under, like, the studio's noses.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be, like, the biggest movie that launched this entire universe and everything like that.
All right. Well, speaking of Marvel movies that might flop, this is the one last trailer I want to get to on this little romp here.
Wait, really quick, though. You think Ant-Man's going to flop? Is that what you just said?
Maybe. I don't know. It's hard because, look, you got Avengers coming out, so I think you're going to have a lot of carryover from Avengers watching that movie. So, success-wise, I think it'll still be good because it's still riding the coattails of Avengers.
But I don't. There's nothing about this movie that gives you a feeling as part of the MCU, though.
There you go.
There's been, I mean, maybe the movie will actually reference things like, you know, the chaos in New York or the Avengers, and maybe they will.
I heard some people say that the end of Avengers might get a little post credit scene of Ant-Man.
Who wants that? We're gonna so what? So 2 months later, we're gonna see the actual movie.
Yeah,
that's not much of a,
again, ride the coattails of Avengers.
Yeah, if they're doing that, that's gonna reek of desperation that they're really trying to get people to get excited about Ant-Man.
I personally want to see a Spider-Man clip after Avengers, but that's,
I think they will. I think it's gonna be,
they've been teasing a lot that he's gonna be on Captain America.
He's part of Civil War. Yeah. I heard that officially.
So. You got to get him somewhere
before. I think Avengers will end with a Spidey. You know, they have like multiple teasers, you know, multiple mid, they have mid credit scenes and then the end credit scenes nowadays, because these have become such a staple of these Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Now they're doing two of them, so one of them might lead up to Ant-Man, one of them might lead up to Spidey.
Yeah. Man, that's all, like, Spider-Man right after Avengers. That's like all fan service. That's like all just. Here you go. Enjoy it all.
okay, but back to what you were saying, describing Marvel movies that will flop.
Goddamn. Where to start on this one? Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that the official title? Fantastic Four? Just Fantastic? Not the. Is that how they're separating it from the original?
Yeah. No, okay. Fantastic with the number four.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
You know, the odd thing about this trailer, and again, we're trying to talk about mainly the trailers here, but yeah, it's discussing the movies as well. The I've heard, if you see the reviews of this actual trailer, it's like people are liking the trailer but think the movie's gonna suck. It's kind of a weird, I never seen that dichotomy before of like, people are saying it's good for a trailer, it's good for what it is, but the movie's gonna stink.
Well, for the okay, this movie is unique in that people were speculating whether or not this was even a real movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. People were thinking this is not even going to really happen. And the studio itself was only reinforcing that theory by not releasing any pictures, not releasing posters. They were being very, very hush-hush, in addition to the fact that people were...
The rumor was they were just making the movie to keep the rights. They didn't really care about anything else.
And then the studio, like I said, they weren't helping that theory by holding back for so long. Mm-hmm. So I think as far as all those people you were saying, I think that we have... like a year's worth of apprehension to get over.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's been really hard for people to...
And then we get to all the casting choices and all this controversy. And then
there was that too.
Yeah, the controversy of all that. It was
They were basically driving by a junior high and was like, hey, do you want to play Mr. Fantastic? Oh, God. I think they're all too young. I know in this franchise mentality, you want to cast somebody who can play a character for maybe 10 years or something.
Yeah.
So that's a part of it.
Devil's advocate on this as far as them being young. I did read the Ultimate Fantastic Four comics. It was a different universe, different timeline from the main Marvel stuff, but they are younger. I don't know how far along this is going to... match up with those comics, but that's the only justification I can see at all for them being that young.
Yeah, I guess.
But even then, I don't know if that makes a good movie or not. I don't know. I don't know what kind of fan base they're going after or what demographic, but it's very...
I think it's like half trying to get young people and half trying to get actors who can sustain a franchise.
Yeah.
You know, like Robert Downey Jr., he's pushing 50 or something, you know.
And look look at what they're doing right now with, well, actually Marvel, real quick, not to diverge too much, but you know, Robert Downey Jr., there's already talks about him like you know, how much longer he can do.
Yeah, he had like X amount of pictures he had to commit to, and this is, I think it might be his very last one. Yeah.
Hugh Jackman, he said that Days of Future, or I mean, I'm sorry, Apocalypse is his last.
Yeah,
Wolverine. So, you know, they're starting to think, okay, maybe we start cast younger.
Yeah, the longevity of franchise is how I think they're starting to see it, and I think that's why they're skewing young.
The chance that it might be successful.
And the chance, you never know.
So thoughts of the trailer itself. I mean, we get
this trailer is a perfect example of that formula I was talking about earlier. You got the black guy. I guess he plays the father of
Doctor Storm. They said Doctor Storm. Yeah.
Yeah. So. You got him narrating. And he did the narration in that first trailer. It was his voice narrating. So it's following that same. Is that what I saw in this trailer, or am I thinking of the first one? Did he narrate this one too?
No, I don't think so. This was just...
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of. That formula I'm talking about is the first trailer with him. Now we learn who was the one narrating. That's what I'm thinking of. This was more a proper trailer. The first one was a teaser.
Yeah.
So this one, we get some shots of them using their powers. The first one didn't really give
us... Yeah, we finally get a shot of everything. Yeah. Thing. We see what he looks like.
Okay, that's what I think what a lot of people are talking about. We finally see a CGI thing. First time we see a CGI thing. Apparently he goes into battle commando.
Apparently.
So maybe we'll finally learn what Jason Lee asked in Mallrats years ago. The thing is, this dork pick up orange rock like the rest of his body. Finally gonna learn that in this movie. That's about the only thing I'm excited about. Brody will get his answer. That's all I'm looking forward to.
But what'd you think about the special effects for the Human Torch?
It's fine, I guess. I mean, ooh, the fire.
Yeah.
It's not like we haven't seen the Human Torch before done twice
with like Captain America. Evans.
Yeah. And we saw the Human Torch in Days of Future Past, right? He was in that? That was a weird choice to do a crossover to throw the Human Torch into Days of Future Past and then rename him Sunspot.
I didn't think about that for your
No, I mean, come on. They fucking made him Human Torch. Sunspot doesn't fly, doesn't catch fire, doesn't shoot fire out of his hands.
Yeah.
They literally... Literally just took the Human Torch and just made him mutant in Days of Future Past.
Well,
that's a whole other rant, though.
Yeah.
But the point is, a guy on fire.
I've seen this effect before. Yeah, like you said.
And I like the effect in the original Fantastic Four movie.
Yeah,
I thought it looked good. I thought it's how I always pictured it in the comic. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good effect. So they'll either A, copy that verbatim, and in which case it won't impress me, or B, they'll try and tweak it, and it probably won't be as good.
And I'm guessing... it looked like outer space, but I'm guessing that was negative zone that they were into when they were getting all their powers.
Yeah, okay. Well, you've read the Ultimates. Apparently, is it part of the Ultimate or just part of this movie storyline that they don't go to space and get their powers through cosmic rays? I think in this movie, they just transverse some dimensions, which I think is the negative
zone. Negative zone is a different dimension. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And I think they get their powers through the negative zone.
You know what? It's been a few years since I've actually read those back issues, so... I really can't say if it was through the negative zone like that or not, or if it was outer space, but it was just a retelling of their origin anyway, so... Any way you go about it, it is how they get their powers in space or some kind of experiment or whatever. We did get a clip of Dr. Doom in the mask.
Yeah. Was it a mask? Or is it like he's got a mutated metal face or something? Who knows what the fuck they're doing? Well, we got a shot of him also as the actor, Tony Kebbell. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Okay. I don't know most of these guys that are in this
movie. He played Korba as the bad ape in Planet. Yeah, I don't know why I pounded my chest.
You love doing that.
he did the mocap for the bad ape in Planet of the Apes and in both of them. He was in Wrath of the Titans as.
So he's done a lot of like. Motion capture work?
No, he didn't. No, he was an actual actor in Wrath of the Titans. He was the son of Prometheus. I don't know if you saw Wrath of the Titans.
I did once.
He was the other demigod.
For me, he was very forgettable. I can't remember that much about it.
He was in Prince of Persia. He's done some like big... Oh, wow.
So he's... Yeah, okay.
But he's done... Like, yeah, he's done some big movies. Not very good ones. But, I mean, he's surprising. Like, a guy you've never even heard of.
So
but he was in this big budget movie.
Yeah, high budget, big budget flops.
Yeah, kind of. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's in like Wrath of Titans and Prince of Persia. So this
fits right into his resume there.
Exactly. So,
so I don't know this is the movie that was rumored that Dr. Doom is an internet blogger.
Okay, this is the one. That's what I was thinking of. I was getting confused.
But if they do that, come on, really?
But from what we saw in the trailer, like, what was he doing in this big lab if he's an internet blogger?
I don't know.
And how does he get powers? Does he go to the Negazone with him? Did they send an internet blogger to cover the story of traveling dimensions? You can blog about it?
God damn it. You're joking, but you're asking, like, I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's actually what happens. I really don't know. But did this trailer, does this make you curious about the movie?
His name is Viktor Domashev, which I guess he cuts it down to Doom. Although, when you think about it, like, the fact that there's a real guy named Viktor Von Doom.
They did change it in Ultimate Fantastic Four. I can't remember if that's
what they changed it to. Yeah, the thing that was always funny in comic books is how people, even before they became heroes or usually villains, their name, like, you know, Otto Octavius just happens to become like an octopus. Mm-hmm. You know, Victor Freeze just happens to become ice powers.
Hey, you know what? No, I'm going to defend Stan the Man over here, okay? he flat out said, like, he wasn't the most...
Okay, Victor Freeze. Defend that one. And then he becomes Mr. Freeze. He didn't even need to change his name. He just had to say, Edward Nigma, Enigma. He just his name conveniently lent to the alter ego that he adopted.
The 60s that were was different. It was a different time.
It was a different time, yeah. Thank you. It'd be like if Sue Storm was Storm in X-Men, you know? You're like, wow, that was convenient. Thank God you became a villain because your last name is Doom. What kind of hero is named Doom? You know? So
Captain Doom.
Captain Doom, yeah. So I'll give him, at least, yeah, they changed his names because that was a little silly. That doesn't carry over decades later.
All right, so... That's
the one little tidbit I'll defend. It's not even about the trailers of the movie.
So are you looking forward to this movie?
Again, I'm going to watch it because it's a Fantastic Four movie. But no, I'm not expecting it to be good. Okay. Am I going to watch it? Yes. Am I anticipating it being good? No.
Okay. All right, fair enough. All right. That's...
Let me ask you something. Okay. What do you think? Are you anticipating this? Do you think it'll be good?
No.
Do you think it'll be worse than the last ones?
Oof.
That's what I wanted to know.
You know what? I guess I'm in the minority of defending or enjoying the first Fantastic Four movie.
Really?
The second one? No, I don't like the
second
one.
You liked the first one?
I enjoyed it for what it was. It was kind of lighthearted. It was lighthearted? I mean, I don't know. Mm. No, I didn't like Jessica Alba.
Thank you. Okay, good. No. Yeah, she's my... You liked the second one, though?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't like
the second one? I didn't like the
second one. Oh, okay, yeah.
Which was a shame, because I really liked Silver Surfer in the movie. I like the effects that they used for him.
Did you like the casting of Bullshit as Galactus?
No. Good. No, that's why I don't like the movie.
Yeah. There's a fucking cloud.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Well, I will say this about this movie, is that the bar is not set very high.
True.
Yeah, they don't have to be
a win-win situation for them.
Yeah, they don't have to be a great movie to be an improvement.
Like, if it sucks, it's like, well, fuck y'all, we're going to like it anyways. But if it's good, like, hey, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Showed y'all, motherfuckers.
So, yeah, so that's what this movie has going for it, is that the bar is very, very, very low.
Yeah. That's all that I had, but I did want to mention one other trailer that didn't really come out with this whole trailer-palooza week that we had, but Mad Max, The Fury Road.
Oh.
That's just a movie I'm looking forward to seeing just in general. And the trailer came out, a month or two ago, maybe?
I'm getting all the trailers lumped together, to be honest. I'm not like, oh, that was from trailer one, that was from trailer two. It's weird. I'm not going out and Googling these things and watching them over and over again. But when I see them in the theater, I got to admit, I am blown away by the imagery, the visuals of these movies. And
it just looks like 100%, no, 110% testosterone-fueled explosion. I mean, it looks like man's movie. Really.
Like Patrick Swayze said in Point Break, 100% pure adrenaline
is
the tagline of these movies.
And the fact that they brought back the creator of the franchise,
Miller, I think is the guy's name. Yeah.
W. George Miller or something? It's George Miller. I know.
I think it's George Miller.
But he's directing it. He wrote it. I think he produced it. I'm not really sure. But he's...
Now, I'm ashamed to say I am not overly familiar with the original Mad Max movies.
Okay.
The Road Warrior movies, all that stuff.
You know what? A few months ago, I went back just for kicks and maybe because the very first announcement of this came out, so I went back and I rewatched the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that's really, for me, good is Road Warrior.
The first one.
Second one.
Oh, wait.
Mad Max was the first one. Road Warrior was the second one.
And then Beyond Thunderdome was the third one with Tina Turner. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Honestly,
see, I don't even know the order.
The first one was just kind of introduction of him, how he became Mad Max, this and that. But it's very kind of desolate. There's not a whole lot going on in it. The second one is what everybody, the imagery of what everybody.
So, from what you can tell by this new trailer, do you think it's more of taking from which of the original three? Of the second one?
Yes.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because there was a scene, it looked almost shot for shot from this part two with the oil tanker with the spikes on the sides and everything, and they were going down there. I did find out through, I don't know if it was IMDb, but the story is basically like, I don't want to say like a flashback tale, but like Mad Max is already a legend in this movie. And it's like a narration starts it off, and it's being told as a tale. Like, I remember this time and Mad Max did this, and it's kind of like being told as a story. Okay. But that's kind of how I think part three was, where he was already told like that, like he was already a legend. So again, it's going back to taking bits and pieces from those other movies.
Like I went the opposite route when I heard about this movie and the first trailer like blew me away. I was tempted to right away to go watch the old ones, but I thought, you know what, I kind of want to just take this movie in as a brand new entity on its own.
And you probably can, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't want to be like, oh, the original did this, or, you know, oh, they're copying that scene, whatever. I kind of just wanted to, like as if I was a brand new fan of the franchise.
Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to this movie. It's weird, like I said, I don't go back and watch these trailers over and over. I'm not Googling it, trying to learn all these facts. I kind of want to just approach it with a fresh.
Oh, I'm not point like I'm not like fact checking everything. I went back and just watched them. That's it. Actually, I fell asleep with the third one. So there. That Tina Turner, for God's sake.
Yeah. What do you got against Tina Turner?
I don't know.
Did you see What's Love Got to Do with It? You know what that woman went through.
Doesn't mean I want to see her movie.
No, I never saw that movie either.
All right. Oh. So, was there
on any, that note?
is there any other trailers that you've seen recently that we didn't talk about that has made you want to go out and watch the movie or anticipation?
These are the big ones. I mean, guys, it seems like I don't even watch trailers for the first time anymore in a theater.
It's right, the internet exactly. Nowadays, they used to be what you went to go to the movies for.
Mm-hmm. What time is it? The movie starts in, 20 minutes. Well, I want to watch
the trailers.
Damn,
I'm going to miss the trailers.
I'm going to miss the trailers, yeah. And when that will always get you excited, being in a dark room, seeing it all big. Now, the first time, like I said, the first time I watched a Star Wars trailer was on my phone.
Yeah.
That's not, conducive to awe-inspiring imagery and things like that. So, I can't remember the last time I even went to the movies.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Especially for that.
Now I just
do you remember when before the prequels came out for Star Wars, the trailer for Phantom Menace, was going to be on Meet Joe Black, I think.
God, I know what you're talking about. People were buying tickets to the
just
movie
for the trailer,
and then they'd walk out.
Yeah,
they like I paid $7.50 or however much it costed in 2000 whatever. Just to watch the trailer and then they walk out. I don't remember that movie, but I remember seeing the trailer in
theaters. Because we were in the theaters when we worked there. And,
yeah. And I was probably just, like I said, Star Wars imagery. Just show a guy with a lightsaber was enough to get me excited. But in hindsight, the movie was a steaming pile of shit.
Right.
But the trailer got me excited because it was just like...
It was the first time we saw anything Star Wars.
Yeah, it was speeders and lightsabers and Darth Maul's double... thing and Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and they shake hands. I was like, oh my god, we're gonna see how they meet and all that kind of stuff. But because it wasn't the trailer that was doing it. It was my whole lifetime of love of Star Wars.
It was true
and
nostalgia,
I think that's affecting a lot of people with this new trailer, myself included.
Well, me too. I said it earlier, but I don't know. I don't think you can say the same is going to happen with. I can't see Episode 7 being. Bad.
No. Like I said, it all comes back to JJ though, and he's the thing that's keeping the faith, like Billy Joel does, the song. Yes. So based, if it was just some no-name guy or director I didn't love, and I saw that trailer, I might be 100% the other way. I might be like, well, they didn't show me anything new, and so you gave me a Star Destroyer, I'm supposed to jizz my pants. I might be approaching it like that.
Touche.
Yeah, it's all about perception based. Like I say, now we know everything. We know the studios, we know the directors, we know everything beforehand. Whereas before, we just go to a theater and be like,
"You had to watch the trailer." You had to watch the trailer. Yeah,
yeah.
So, now we have trailers for movies like 2 years in advance.
Yeah, but we have all these preconceived notions before we even get to the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know everything involved in it. We know all this stuff, and our opinions are formed before the trailer even drops. And the trailer is fighting an uphill battle to sway an opinion we've had for months already, like with Fantastic Four. People are liking it, but we've spent a year hating it already.
Yeah.
So it's an uphill battle.
Speaking of preconceived notions and everything, Suicide Squad is a movie that's coming out, and they just released... Before that, they announced the cast, and the cast includes Will Smith as Deadshot. I don't know how that's going to work out.
Is Tom Hardy... I thought he dropped out of it. Mad Max himself. I heard he was involved, and then I heard that he dropped out.
Yeah.
I think he did.
Yeah.
Because I think he was going to be Rick Flagg, and then I read somewhere that he's not... it at all anymore.
But we have, Will Smith as Deadshot. We have Jared, is it Leto or Leto?
Who gives a shit?
Touche. That guy as Joker. Which, that pissed off a lot of people just in general, because why is Joker in a Suicide Squad movie? Like, he's not part of Suicide Squad.
But Harley Quinn is, and we got Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. And most people...
Did you watch her in that movie that just came out with Will Smith?
No, Focus or something.
Focus,
like that.
No,
I haven't.
Was it Will Smith in that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to see that movie, actually. I just didn't get a chance to see it.
Viola Davis is Amanda Waller. I can see that. I would have liked, actually, to have CCH Pounder as Amanda Waller. That would have been great. Why not? But
if they were connecting the TV series to the movie series, or the universe, TV universe with the movie universe, they have Amanda Waller for Arrow. I mean, she's a recurring character.
Who plays her in that?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that. I know she is, because I've seen her, but I know she's...
Amanda Waller's been in the big screen before in Green Lantern.
Yeah, do you want to carry over that?
No, but that's not to knock. Tina Turner, we just talked about her in Westlake. Angela Bassett.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't give her anything to do, but she was just Amanda Waller in that movie. I don't know who plays... Amanda Waller, what did you say? It was Arrow that has her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was actually on Spartacus. That's what I know her from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't watch Spartacus either.
Well, that's what I know her from, so. Anyway.
Okay, yeah, Joel, Tom Hardy, Mad Max, was going to be Rick Flagg. He dropped out, now they got Joel Kinnaman. He's that new RoboCop guy.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know if that's good.
I don't know him anything but as the new RoboCop. And Jai Courtney, I'm just saying, so sick of this guy. He's,
Isn't he also in Terminator?
He's Kyle Reese. He's a new Kyle Reese. He's just one of these dudes who just comes out of nowhere and is everywhere.
Mm.
You know,
like Sam Worthington.
Yeah, also in a Terminator movie. Yeah. Or
he's all connected. It's like six degrees of Kevin Bacon.
What's that dude who played Gambit in Wolverine?
Tyler Kitsch.
Taylor Kitsch. Like this, and he was in Friday Night Lights, but all of a sudden, like, bam, he's getting like movies after another. And this dude, Jack Horner, he was in the Die Hard 5 or whatever, which sucked. He was Bruce Willis's kid.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's just all over the place too now, in Terminator, now in this, and it's like, I don't know. I don't like him. I've never liked him in anything I've seen him in.
Mm, okay.
He was in Jack Reacher. He was like the villain kind of, opposite Tom Cruise. He was born in that. Jai Courtney. You know what's interesting about him?
Who?
Nothing.
What?
No, I'm saying he's just not interesting in anything I've seen him in. And they got some model to be Enchantress. I don't even know who that is.
I don't know
who
Enchantress is. Yeah. Other than the Thor villain, but I don't think that's the same character.
Yeah, I think that's it. Ooh, and as who'd they get to play Killer Croc? You know this guy's name.
Yeah, that guy. Wasn't he in G.I. Joe?
What's his name again? Come on, you know it.
Oh, you do it so much better than I do.
No, come on, you know his name.
Adwell.
I forgive you, sir, if you ever hear Adewale Akunye Agbaje. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
But he's rumored as Killer Croc.
Yeah. He's been in so much stuff. He played Heavy Duty. He was in The Mummy. He was in Congo. He was in... he's Mr. Echo from Lost, if you watch Lost. This dude's been around all over the place.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about him in Lost, too.
Common. Who the hell is he playing?
I don't know. There's no name next to it.
Rapper Oscar-winning Common, we have to call him now.
No, I don't. Oscar-winning Common. But anyway, okay, to get back to what I was mentioning, I brought this up in the first place, is because, first of all, the cast was just out there. Secondly, they they've been teasing what Jared Leto is going to be looking like as Joker, because he's been posting, tweeting pictures of with him with gray or green hair, things like that. They finally released a picture of Joker in this movie, and no, it's just bad. I'm sorry, it's not Joker. I don't know what that is. It's,
I mean, I didn't know about this at all. And then as we were preparing for this episode,
I
was like, let me watch some of these trailers really quick just to refresh my memory.
Yeah.
And so I went to IMDb, and IMDb always has the latest breaking news, like this was 4 hours ago news, whatever. And I saw, Jared Leto is Joker. So you're setting up the thing, and I'm just on my laptop. And then I was like, I opened it up, and I just went, oh. And then you look over, and you see what I'm looking at. And then you click record.
Yeah. I was hoping for a big rant out of you.
Oh, well, it caught me off guard. I didn't think we were going to see that. And that was not what I was expecting at all. I've been picturing, people have been doing photoshopping Jared Leto pictures as a Joker and all, you know, trying.
Those Photoshops are a lot better than...
Yeah, exactly. But they're all Joker. You know, you look at it and you'd be like, oh, that's Jared Leto as Joker.
Yeah.
You think that. When you looked at that image, if you had no idea Jared Leto was being cast, would you have thought, oh, that's Jared Leto as Joker?
No.
No. If anything, I think the tattoos are meant to... Because the ha-ha-has and the flush cards, I think those are meant to be like, but see, we made a Joker. See, we put the ha ha ha's. We're keeping with Joker.
He's got the big smile tattoo on his forearm.
Exactly, and that's seems like it's an afterthought, like at the last second.
They Photoshop those tattoos on you. So is that part of the movie, or is it those?
It's like at it all and be like, guys, this is nothing like Joker. Yeah. Well, give him a tattoo of a smiley face and ha ha ha. Yeah. That'll make him Joker.
No, and a nice printed damage tattoo on the forehead.
What the fuck does that even? Oh, get it, Joker. He's crazy, right? But
it's like perfectly. It's like perfectly nice fonted.
Joker doesn't have tattoos. He's all pale.
Yeah, he doesn't have time for tattoos. He's too busy killing people or doing other stuff.
His own face off.
Yeah. Hey, that's a nice current reference. Yeah.
I would rather seen that.
Yeah.
I hope he does do that. Well, that would be neat. But No, I was...
The grill is what got me. What?
He looks like... I can't even think of a rapper who has the grill.
Does Common have a grill?
There you go. I don't think he does. isn't a Chameleonaire, does he have a grill?
I don't know.
I've heard that name.
You lost me.
I don't know rappers with grill. He looks like fucking Chris Rock in CB40. There you go.
There you go. You got it. You nailed it right there.
There you go. Nice topical reference. Okay.
But I got it. Yeah. So what does that tell me? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not. I was not on board with any of that. I wasn't on board with the idea of Jared Leto, but I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Because we
went on to say some of this stuff earlier.
Because of what Heath Ledger did, I'm willing to accept out there casting for Joker for the sake of what can he bring to the character. But after seeing that picture...
Yeah, at least like when... I don't remember the first time I saw Heath Ledger's Joker. I don't know if I saw it in the theater or if it was back in the day.
I think they did I think they did shots before. They
were
revealed
like,
it.
Was tweeting an image of you a thing in 2000?
No, not the tweeting. But there was promotional posters.
Seven, eight.
There was like the foggy picture of him like writing Why So Serious on the wall. And
just, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
there's things like that. Yeah. So they were giving you a taste of what Joker was going to look like.
Well, yeah. People keep using the nobody liked Heath Ledger at the time defense. And that worked out. But I remember when people have always been using the Michael Keaton. That's what they said about Michael Keaton at the time.
Yeah.
Nobody liked him either.
Yeah.
And that worked out too. But that's apples and oranges. That does A plus B doesn't equal C. Doesn't mean Jared Leto's going to be good.
I think this Joker in this Suicide Squad movie, this is going to be something for maybe a younger generation from us.
I'm just hoping it's a small part. I'm hoping...
Like just introducing Harley Quinn and be done with it.
Yeah, or something with Arkham and Joker's there. But I hope he's not a pivotal... I hope he's not the villain of it.
Yeah.
I hope he's not a main character. I hope he's just like a small part.
Yeah, I hope so too. Yeah. But on that note, I think we're going to call it a day on this one.
So if you want to chime in, let us know. Leave us some feedback on our facebook.com/popculturerewind. Also,
sooner rather than later, because these movies are going to be out at the end of the summer. Who's going to give a shit about the trailers anymore?
Yeah. So, but you can always catch all our episodes on iTunes, on the Stitcher Radio app. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at PopCultureRWND. And also, all our episodes are available PopCultureRewind.podbean.com. So, that being said, till next time, always remember to pop your culture.
Get off my plane!